Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be remembering a family from Wilmore, Bob Bellman and his family. He owned Bellman Service Station. We'll talk to his son, Chris, right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here on Jess FM 105.9.
When it comes to certain jobs, you're only as good as your tools. The right tools make a job go faster, and most importantly, help make it a great experience. Honda's Fort Trax Rancher line of ATVs are exactly the tools you want, especially when the job at hand is hunting, fishing, or exploring on the ranch. And you can see the whole Rancher line at Floyd Cycle in Danville. Every rancher starts with the same proven Honda engine, a 420cc liquid-cooled single-cylinder design with fuel injection that's engineered for the kind of wide, low-revving power an ATV rider wants. Choose between independent rear suspension for excellent handling and a superior ride, or one of the swing arm models that works best for riders who tow a lot. Either way, every model comes with Honda's legendary reliability and efficiency. Head on down to Floyd Cycle in Danville and check out the new 2018 Honda 4-Trax Rancher lineup. They're perfect for what the job is fun. Honda recommends the Rancher for riders 16 years and older and recommends that all ATV riders take a training course.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday as we continue to learn more about people, places, and things of our county. Today we're going to travel south to Wilmore and discuss a business and a family that was down in that area. The business was a service station. It was owned by a fellow named Bob Bellman, his wife Joanne. They had, five, six kids. Is that right? And one of them is here today. Chris Bellman joins us to talk about the Bellman family. Good morning.
Good morning, Doug. Glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you coming in. And as we continue to remember things that used to be, and I found out in this program it kind of started as a memory program. It has devolved into somewhat of an educational program because there's a lot of people listen that don't have a clue and they don't remember all this stuff. So it's good to be able to do this. Let's start with the family as far as how they even got to be in Jessamine County. I guess start with your dad. Tell us where he's from, how he got to be here. That kind of thing.
Dad grew up in South Central Iowa. Mm-hmm. He grew up on a dairy farm. He went to Iowa State University and graduated from there with a degree in dairy husbandry.
Really?
That's correct. That was in about 1948, I think, when he graduated from college.
I'm assuming that where he grew up, that was pretty much the industry, was dairy.
Agriculture, dairy, and row cropping was the industry.
Dairy husbandry.
That's right.
I don't know of all the years that I knew him that I would ever have guessed that, because I don't know of anything he did here that even was close to that.
That's right. Once we moved to Kentucky, and a few years before that, actually, but once we moved to Kentucky, no one would have known that he was ever even a farmer.
Wow. But, all right. So he's gone to college for that. Now, let's switch gears a minute. We'll pair him up in a minute. Tell us about your mom, Joanne.
Mom grew up also in South Central Iowa in a different town than Dad did, although I think they were in the same town when Mom moved to Indianola, Iowa, when they were both late in high school and I believe were both seniors.
Oh, okay.
And so they met in high school. Dad saw Mom singing in the choir at church and thought to himself, who is that pretty girl? And soon after they met and dated, and when Mom passed away, they were, I think, just weeks away from the 70th anniversary of their first date.
Wow. So it all started in Iowa. Now, I guess before we come to Kentucky, I must ask, were six children, were any of them born, any of you guys born in Iowa?
Yes.
Let's, I guess, go down the road in chronological order. Okay. Who would have been the oldest, and when did that occur?
My brother Bob is the oldest, and he was born in 1950 in Indianola, Iowa.
They're still there. That's now, right. Is your dad in the dairy business?
Dad is working with Grandpa Bellman on the Bellman farm.
Okay. All right. So Bob comes along. Do you have another one in Iowa before we came?
Jeff and George were actually born in Indianola. Uh-huh. Jeff in 1951 and George in 1953.
Okay. So I got three boys living in Iowa.
Right.
All right. What's the next step? More kids or moving somewhere?
The next step is a move.
Okay.
And at that point, we moved just across the Mississippi River into Illinois, where Dad went in a partnership with three other men, mm-hmm. and they did row cropping on 3,200 acres of land and also owned an International Harvester dealership in Quincy, Illinois.
And that's the reason for the move?
That's the reason for the move.
3,200 acres.
3,200 acres. There were four separate farms. One was across the river in Missouri, mm-hmm. and three were in Illinois. The farms, the one in Missouri was right across from Quincy, but the farms in Illinois were right across from Burlington, Iowa, uh-huh. In and near the Mississippi River bottom, very fertile land. And for several years, it was a very successful farming operation.
3,200, I mean, we don't see that around here. I don't know if we got 3,200 acres in our whole county, but you don't see farms of that magnitude here in Kentucky, as far as I know.
Even in that day, in the early 50s, I think it was probably a little bit unusual to have that big an operation, although I'm sure there were plenty of them.
Yeah, huge. All right, so he's in Illinois.
In Illinois.
Were any of the kids born there?
I was, and my brother Billy was born there.
Okay.
We were actually born in Burlington, in Iowa, mm-hmm. right across the river mm-hmm. from where we lived at the time. I was born in late 1954, and Billy was born in late 1960.
So you got five boys. They're raising with three partners. He's selling International Harvester and raising 3,200 acres worth of crops.
Right.
What came next?
Well, the partnership lasted about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And then the four men all kind of decided they wanted to do other things.
Yeah.
The operation was going great. But one man who was my mother's cousin's husband decided to move to Arizona and get into plastics.
All right.
One of the men wanted to become an insurance agent, so he did that. And I believe the man that was the main guy in the implement store in the International Harvester mm-hmm. dealership, I believe he stayed in that business. Mm-hmm. And Dad basically just got out of the business for a while.
Was it just because these other guys wanted to go somewhere? I mean, he was content at that time. And
I think he was content at that time. But without the partnership, one man can't handle that much acreage.
Okay.
I may be assuming some things here, but even with a man with five sons, who were all just little boys at the time, would have been something had we stayed, maybe.
Is that at what the point that he headed to Kentucky?
We were in Illinois. We moved off the farm. One of those farms and on to another farm just for a year or two while Dad was basically deciding what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. At some point during that time, he was the leader of the youth group mm-hmm. at the church, Mom and Dad, and we were attending at the time mm-hmm. in a little town named Gladstone, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Well, they decided Billy Graham was having a crusade in Wheaton near Chicago, which was kind of across the state from where we lived. But Dad decided the church group went to the crusade.
Yeah.
Now, when they got there, they weren't able to get into the main crusade and actually hear Billy Graham preach.
Yeah.
They went to a local church where one of Billy Graham's lieutenants was preaching at the same time.
Okay.
That's when Dad was converted to Christianity.
Well, I was going to, because I know he was a lay minister or an ordained minister, and I was going to get to that. And I guess the question would have been, because you mentioned that he saw your mom singing in church choir. So I'm assuming he was raised in the church,
He grew up in the United Methodist Church in Indianola, Iowa.
But it wasn't until this that I guess it hit him. That's the calling, if you will. That's when it happened.
I want to clarify. I said he was converted to Christianity. He was in Christianity all his life. That's when he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior and became a Christian.
And at that point in time, was the idea of being a minister, was that a part of it, or he just that came later?
I think that came later. Okay. I don't think that was a part of it at the time. There may have been a calling there. Uh-huh. But he had no training in the ministry at that point, other than having attended church all his life.
Before you go too far now, getting to Kentucky, I don't want to leave out details about you kids. So let's back up a minute and talk about each one of them and kind of what they did with their life, if you don't mind, where they are now. Okay. Start with the oldest.
Bob is now retired. He worked for FMC, Link Belt, in Lexington for, gosh, 30-something years, I think, and retired. He was also in the Army Reserve for a long time. Is married to Jackie Walker.
Right.
And they have two daughters and several grandchildren.
Still here.
Still here.
Right.
Still living here at, on in the Lone Oak subdivision here in Nicholsville. Jeff, the next oldest, is living in Denver, Colorado at the present time. He lived in Lexington for a long time, attended UK. When Mom and Dad moved to Florida in 1990, Jeff kind of moved down, followed them down there, and was down there for a while, and then back to Lexington, now in Denver, recently remarried there.
Yeah. So that's two of them.
That's two. George. George and I were closest, probably, growing up. Or he, I was closest to George, to put it that way. And George graduated from Jessamine County High in 71, went into the Air Force for a while, worked for Pitney Bowes, repairing postage meters and copiers, retired from them a few years ago, but still works for them as a contractor. He's in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Married to the former Donna Murphy. And they have three daughters and lots of grandchildren and great-grandchildren at this point.
All right. Then I guess you were next.
That would leave me. I graduated from Jessamine County High in 73, went to work at the station in Wilmore for Dan Philpott, and then worked for Clyde Bunch for a while before Dad and I bought the station, and have lived in the area all my life. And I'm married to the former Debbie Cobb. We have a daughter, Hillary, and three grandchildren.
How long have you been with the school system?
Been with the school system since 1993.
Yeah.
February 1st of 93.
Running the transportation.
Transportation. I started there as lead mechanic and evolved into the transportation director, and have been doing that for 21 years.
On an aside, when you started, do you remember how many buses there were in our Jessamine County school system?
When I started in 93, I think there were about 80 buses.
How many we have now?
113.
Golly.
When I graduated from high school, I think there were 32 buses.
And we've had people on this show that can remember when there were four.
Oh, I'm sure.
Back in the days of Lester Hired Beverly things like people like that. Okay. All right, so I've got, let's go, Billy's next. Yeah.
Billy's next. Billy graduated from high school here in 78, I believe. Lived in Nicholsville, worked for the telephone company.
Okay.
Until 1993, he moved to the Dallas area, still working for the phone company when he moved, and is retired from them now, is married to Carol, and I don't remember Carol's maiden name. She was originally from Michigan, and he met her. She was working for the phone company down there also.
Now, if you can figure it up real quick, how old is Bob?
Bob is 60, will be 68 here in a few days.
He's the oldest, right?
He's the oldest.
Now, five boys are in the nest, and I'm assuming that, Mr. and Miss Bellman are probably thinking, well, Bob boys is all we're going to get. But 1963, and I don't know if she's had a birthday yet or not, but she's either 54 or 55.
She's had her birthday this year.
Along came Ruthie, 13 years after the first child was born.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about Ruthie. I remember her as being a drum major in the Jessamine County band.
She was. She was in the band. Mom and Dad were band, the presidents of the band Boosters at that time. And all made a trip to Europe together in, I think, 1980, if I remember right.
Would have been with Alan Jacobus.
That's correct.
As a band director,
And Ruthie now lives in Western Virginia, not West Virginia, but Western Virginia, near Blacksburg, little town called Dublin, and has been living there for quite some time.
Yeah.
I don't remember how many years. Has a daughter, Rachel, was married to Glenn Carroll for several years and divorced. But daughter Rachel is now 21 or 22 years old, and she's engaged to be married. Ruthie works for the public library down there. It covers two counties. Mm-hmm. It's one library for two counties, and I can't remember the name of the town it's in, but it's near Dublin in the Blacksburg area.
Ruthie was behind me a year in school, and I'll say she's one of those classmates that, in my opinion, has not changed a bit since she graduated. She looks just like she did then, which is a compliment, Ruthie. You're one of the few who just, I see her on Facebook, and she hasn't. She hasn't aged at all.
Still looks the same.
Yeah. So, with that being said, we have a girl in the family now who was born in Kentucky, I think. So, we need to bring the Bellmans to Kentucky. The last time we talked about their location, they were in Illinois. He had gone to the Billy Graham Crusade. Mm-hmm. Take us from there.
He continued, of course, being a leader in the church, little church there in Gladstone, with the youth ministry and such. And at some point in time, there was a revival meeting in the church led by a man named Robert Fraley, who was from Asbury Theological Seminary in Wilmore. And Dad, who those of us who knew him, those of you who knew him, knew he'd never met a stranger. Mm-hmm. And he and Bob Fraley became good friends. And Dad eventually started into a business with a cousin of his. The company was called Luralite, and it was bug catchers.
Bug catchers?
It operated with a fan and a black light. And the black light lured the bugs, and they got sucked in by the fan and chopped up and into a little bag. And
well, another surprise about Bob Bellman I would have never guessed.
Actually, some of the members of our family were talking about that a while back, and someone pulled out their phone and Googled it, Luralite, right there. And there's actually information on the internet about that company, which has been out of business for I don't know how many years.
Wow.
So anyway, between Dad and his cousin and Bob Fraley, they decided that Central Kentucky might somehow be an open market for a bug-catching business, with tobacco barns, horse farms, bugs, flies, that kind of thing.
Right.
So in July of 1962, we loaded up a moving truck, and the whole family moved to Kentucky. Into a house just north of Wilmore where Mom and Dad lived the entire time we lived here, or they lived here.
The entire reason for any influence that Bob and his wife had on our community is due to a bug catcher.
Due to a bug catcher and a business.
And meeting a guy from Asbury.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. And that was his connection to Asbury at the time.
Wow. I tell you, it's amazing how our world works and how small it can get sometimes, and things that happen.
Yes.
Because in all the years that I have known the Bellmans, the two things I knew about Bob Bellman was, one, service station, two, preacher. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Knew you guys, knew you and Bob and Ruthie especially. But, you know, who would have ever thought that they would have come, and as we get into this and you talk about even his ministry, the people that he would have influenced around the world today, all because of a bug.
Yes.
And I don't mean to put it in such simple terms, but, you know, if it had not been for that, we may not have had him here.
That's right.
Yeah. So they come to Wilmore. They settle. You settle in Wilmore,
mm-hmm.
and start selling these traps. Is that right?
That's right. And obviously, the business didn't go well.
Mm.
Didn't work. There were things that just didn't work. I don't know if it just wasn't studied well enough,
mm-hmm.
Or what. But we had some of those bug catcher machines in our garage until the early 1970s that were never sold. When we first moved in, the whole garage was full of them. So some were sold over the years, I believe. But that didn't turn out well. But his friendship with Bob Fraley continued, and soon, sometime in the around 1964, began working for Asbury Seminary as a fundraiser and began traveling as an ambassador for the seminary.
Really?
Yes.
Didn't and maybe you know this, maybe you don't. Didn't Custer Reynolds do something like that for, was it college, the college maybe?
Custer would have been
same kind of thing
with the college, now the university.
Yeah.
As I'm pretty sure he did the same kind of thing for
go
a while.
And see people all over the country, alumni and people like that to help fund the seminary.
Yes.
So that came first.
That came first.
Okay.
And then within a pretty short time, he actually began doing lay witness missions for the United Methodist Church, traveling and working through with the seminary on that. And what a lay witness mission is it's basically a weekend revival where a group of laymen would go to a church and start hold a meeting on Friday evening, and then there'd be a meeting on Saturday evening, and then they would close out with Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. And Dad did that for almost 10 years and traveled all over the eastern United States and into the Caribbean some.
Now, all you kids are still back in Wilmore with Miss Joanne.
We're still at home with Mom and going to school and doing the things that kids do. Yeah. And Dad spent almost every weekend on the road, and there would be times when we didn't see him for weeks at a time. Yeah. It was kind of a treat to have him at home.
Was that ultimately the reason for the service station?
Well, the service station came about in 1972 is when I went to work there for Dan Philpott, and then Clyde Bunch, who a lot of us in Jessamine County remember well.
Clyde, probably knew more about Jessamine County. He wasn't from here, by the way, but probably knew more about Jessamine County history than anybody ever walked.
I believe that.
And
he was certainly, a lot of times I called him my second dad, and he called me the son that he never had. And he was truly a mentor to me as I was becoming a mechanic and becoming a person.
So he owned the service station at that time?
He bought the service station from Dan Philpott in 1973, and I was working there the whole time.
Do we know how old that station is? Did Philpott open it?
No, it was opened by the Glover family.
Billy Glover.
Billy Glover's dad.
His dad, okay.
Who had a nickname, they called him Slick.
Yeah.
And forgive me, I can't remember his true first name at the moment.
Yeah, and we've done a program on Bill with his son, and I don't remember it either. But I do remember Slick. I do remember that. So they were the original owners of this service station.
The Glovers were the original owners, and I think that building was built around 1950.
Okay.
And sometime in the early 50s, the Philpott brothers bought it from the Glover family.
And then Clyde.
And then Clyde bought it from Dan in late 1973. And then in late 1975, Dad came home from one of his missions, and he and I were talking, and I knew that Clyde was thinking about selling the station. And Dad had said he had gotten a word of knowledge from the Lord that he was supposed to stay in Wilmore and be in business in a big white building. And he did not know at the time that it was the station. That hadn't entered his mind. But as soon as he and I had a conversation about me possibly buying Clyde out, then he knew where he was supposed to be.
He had never had any past experience in this kind of business?
He did not have any
past
experience.
Now, I know they sold tractors and they did guys, and you have to become some kind of a mechanic to take care of your own stuff. But as far as a business, you had working for Clyde, but he had not.
He had not, that's true. But he was a public relations man, and he was a people person. So between me doing a lot of work in the shop along with other mechanics and Dad running the business and doing the pumping the gas and talking to the people, it was a perfect fit for both of us, and it allowed him to expand the Lord's ministry that he had in Wilmore and with people that we knew.
Did any of the other boys work in the station other than you?
Billy did for a while he was in high school.
Yeah.
He would come in the evenings and pump gas.
When you first started working, were you a high school student?
Yes.
So this was just a part-time job to get some money, I guess, to go out on a date or something. I mean, did you ever think what point in time did you decide? I get when it was when you bought the place. This is life. This is my career.
I knew when I started pumping gas there. I knew before that actually that I had some mechanical acumen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a God-given thing. Mm-hmm. Some people are born to do different things.
Right.
And so by the time it came around to the possibility of buying the business, I knew that's where I was going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
And I had never had any real desire to further my education, which in retrospect would have been a good thing. But here I am at 63 years old.
Well, it could have been, Chris. But, you know, a subject that is talked about right now and mm-hmm. today and you being involved in our education here, you've heard it, I'm sure. There's such a scare right now about so, and nothing against college because my kids are going.
Right.
But there's such a scare right now about the lack of, if you will, blue collar workers because all the kids are going to college. And you know, we still need mechanics. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have an education to do that because I know there's, in fact, here in our own county, I mean, you've got this diesel thing that you guys are opening up.
We're opening up a diesel engine class,
which
right
is
at
great.
The bus garage.
And so it's not actually a college degree, but it is a career, and mind you, one that you can make pretty good living out of mm-hmm. that is much needed and will continue to be needed, just like fixing air in this weather, fixing air conditioners or anything like that. We have to have all kinds of people. Thank goodness we do have all kinds of people because, as you mentioned, we're not all born with those talents.
That's right.
We have to have people to help
us. That's right.
So you knew then this is it. And how cool is it to be able to do that with your dad?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great for both of us. It was great for the family. You know, Dad was home.
Yeah.
Starting in 75. And it was a great opportunity for us to continue to serve the people of Wilmore in more ways than one.
How long did the service station, how long did you guys have it?
We had it together until about 1987 or 88. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Dad branched out in some other things too. Mm-hmm. The business stayed there. Dad started selling books on the side, and in 1981, he became the pastor of the Union Church in High Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So he was pastoring, too.
Okay.
And then later in the 80s, he went into pastoring pretty much full-time, started selling books. And then in 1990, he got the call to go to Florida and be a full-time pastor of United Methodist Church in Panama City, Florida. So Mom and Dad moved to Florida at that point.
That was
in 1990.
Did they come back?
They never did come back here. They pastored in Panama City for, I think, 8 years. And then they moved to Blountstown, which is a small town in between Panama City and Tallahassee, and pastored there for another 8 years. And then when Dad retired, I think when he retired, he was 78 or 79.
Now, what year did you say that you all relinquished the station?
I left the station, closed the station December 31st of 1992.
Is that when you went to work for the school system?
And went to work for the school system on February 1st of 93. So,
for the benefit of people who might be traveling in Wilmore, tell us the location of the station so we'll kind of know exactly if you're past that area.
That's easy. There are two stoplights in Wilmore.
Yes.
And when you approach Wilmore, no matter what direction you're approaching it from the outside world, you come to the first stoplight.
Right.
And that's where the station was. Now it is, that plot of ground is known as Asbury Park, and it has a statue of Francis Asbury on a horse.
Right. And right next to, is it Wilmore Christian?
That's Wilmore Christian Church.
Next door.
Yeah.
And some, give you a tie to my family in that portion of ground. My mother was Roar.
Mm-hmm.
The Roars, we can trace back to Wilmore and Jessamine County. The late 1700s, there was a pastor named Reverend Jacob Roar that came from up in around Pennsylvania. He was part of the Moravian Church.
Through Clyde Bunch, I've heard of him.
Yes, and he started a Moravian church.
Yes.
Either there on that spot or next door where the Christian church is, somewhere in that area was where he built his church. And that's my line coming mm-hmm. down through. That's the furthest back. So I'm very proud to say that our family's been here since before the county was a county.
Yes.
In Wilmore, especially. But it's right in that area where your mm-hmm. all station was.
That's right.
Did anybody have the station after you
closed?
No.
Okay.
No, the building and the property were owned by Asbury College. Mm-hmm. And when they made the decision, which I knew was coming, mm-hmm. that they were going to take that building down,
yeah.
and make this and put the statue there. So I had known for about 6 months that was going to happen.
Help me remember, Chris, on that corner, on the other corner, on the western, southwestern corner, of course, that's Asbury College.
Yes.
Our university now. On the northwestern corner sits the building that used to be their art department. That's yes. been there for a while.
It was Asbury University's yeah. art annex for a long time.
Now, help me remember the other corner, the okay. northeast corner where there is now a convenience-type service. What yeah. sat there at the time that you all were in business?
That was a Texaco station.
Okay.
That was owned by the Krauss brothers.
All right.
Charles okay. Krauss, yes. Kimber, David.
Was there concrete place behind that or some offices or something? Or?
The Krauss Brothers concrete plant was over on South Maple Street
okay.
near downtown Wilmore.
Okay. All right. And that's a program we hope to do before too long, too.
That'd be a great one,
is
too.
The Krausses. Yeah. So your dad goes to Florida. They minister down there. We haven't really talked about your mom too much. And of course, I would have to assume that her hardest job and most important was raising these six children, especially five of them being boys.
Right.
Did she work outside the home, though?
Mom did work for Asbury Seminary in the seminary press.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are familiar with the monthly magazine that the seminary put out. And Mom worked there several years. Gosh, don't remember how many while we were growing up. But did the majority of the work in raising us and yeah. keeping the home fires burning.
And that was a hard job, especially your dad out traveling like he was.
Right, and he was gone a lot.
Yeah.
And we turned out all to be pretty good fellas, including Ruthie. And so Mom did a good job at
yes,
that.
Yes, she did. What year did we lose your mother?
Mom passed away in October of 2014.
Your dad was a widower for about 3 years.
For about
he just
3 years.
Recently passed away, didn't he?
He passed away in April of last year
yeah.
of 2017.
Oh, it's been over a year.
It's been over
Gosh,
a year.
Gosh, it's gone quick. If you, as a son, had to describe your dad in a word or two, what would you use?
To me and to most of us, Dad was just a rock.
Mm-hmm.
His faith was so solid, and he was just the best kind of father anybody could want. Even being on the road a lot of the time, he was there when we needed him. And that's the way he was for everybody.
Yeah.
Gosh, it wasn't
yeah.
just for us.
Yeah.
He was everybody's counselor. If he knew someone, he counseled them in some way at some point in time, no matter how small it was.
I would almost assume the word rock could probably describe your mom, too, in a different kind of way.
In a different kind of way.
Yeah.
But just as true and in a lot of the same ways,
yeah.
too.
You know, it's interesting. Your dad is one of those people, and there's a lot of them in this county, that probably never realized, or at least if he did, he was very humble about it, the people he touched and how that continues today. You know, there are people in this world because of his ministry, and I don't know for a fact, but I'd almost be willing to bet that he probably came in contact with a number of Asbury students over the years, whether it be at the church or through revivals or whatever. And those people are now out in the world touching other people, and it's all because of a number of things. And if you look back and look at the line of what brought you to where you are, and you look back at the fact that because of a man that he met at a Billy Graham
crusade.
Revival crusade, thank you, because of an idea, a crazy idea to catch bugs, because of growing up on a farm and working with dairy, that this guy ended up in our county touching lives every day.
Every day, and for many years.
Yeah.
All of the years that he was on the road, he maintained an office at the seminary
mm-hmm.
in the Department of Prayer and Spiritual Life. So he was working with students
mm-hmm.
and people
mm-hmm.
For that for all of the time, yeah, from the early mid-60s until Mom and Dad moved to Florida.
Yeah. Well, of course, I know that you are, and I know the rest of the kids are very proud of your parents and what they the legacy that they left for you guys. And very interesting. And I'm so glad we did this. I've learned this, what I enjoy about this program so much. I have interviewed, we're getting ready to do our 200th episode, believe it or not, in October. Wow. And it's amazing at how many people I have interviewed that I have known for years.
Yes.
And every time I interview, I learn something new. I've learned something about people that I've known and had no idea, and it's happened again today. And that's why I'm glad we do this, so that people can further understand not only who they may have known and what they brought to our town, but how they got here and how it all occurred. And bottom line is, it's all in the big plan. It's all in the master plan, and it's done. Things have happened for a reason.
That's right.
Thanks for coming in, Chris. Wish your family well for me.
Thank you for asking. I'll tell everybody hello, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here, Doug.
My thanks to Chris for coming in this morning and remembering the Bellman family from Wilmore. My thanks to you for coming in each and every Saturday morning on All Things Jessamyn. We'll do it again next week. Don't forget, my early morning show, I'm here every weekday from 6 until 8 a.m. to get you up and going on Jess FM 105.9.